Good morning, guys. This is Sean today. So last week on Friday, it's normally the Ask Sean Today show. And just, you know, like I mentioned on the oops, I completely forgot to do the show, believe it or not. It was just one of those days where, you know, I wasn't staring at my to-do list, wasn't really staring at my calendar, was kind of just aimlessly, just who knows what, I don't even remember what was going on Friday. I was tired. It was the end of the week. So it's Monday. We're going to do Ask Sean Today today. So the first question comes from Matt Grepentro. And he asks, he says, I'd love a car topic, either on your current vehicle or what you'd love to drive. And current vehicle is drive a 2001 Jeep Cherokee Classic. It's black with 235 tires. It's great. You know, I mean, it's a nice, I'm actually kind of a fan of Jeeps. I've owned a few of them in the past. It's kind of funny. My first car ever when I was 16 or 17 was a Honda Civic. It was like a 1989 or something like that. Honda Civic hatchback. And when I graduated high school, I spent all my graduation money on a laptop and then on a sound system for the Civic. And this guy that put the sound system in was, I guess they have, I don't really track with this, but there is like, you compete, right? Like there's people that compete on like the kinds of crazy sound installs that they have in their car. I mean, it's neon, it's plexiglass stuff. You got subwoofers everywhere. There's some really, really cool stuff. And this guy that put in the sound system in my Honda was one of those guys that does those installs for the people that compete with their cars. And he just had a garage back in Castle Rock, Colorado. And he was on that competition circuit and he did a lot of cars. And I remember taking it in. I didn't even know this until I took it in. He was just the local guy in town that did, if you wanted to get subs installed in your car, like he was the guy, right? And so I took in the Honda and there was another, it was like a Nissan 300ZX. I was sitting in there and he was working on it. And it was, I mean, the thing was just out of control. The owner of the Nissan used to have, it was like a quad turbo. And the thing had something like 600 horsepower. And it was just out of control. And the guy was tired of racing it. And so he sold two of his turbos and decided to put in some money to the sound system. And this thing, I mean, you like, it was like James Bond style on the center console there. You press a button and like the glove box comes down with like a 12 disc changer. Keep in mind, this was like 13 years ago. And, you know, back when people would put CDs in their car. And in the back of the car, it was all purple, like purple and black was like the theme of this car. And I mean, you open up the hood and there's the chrome and purple tubes everywhere. The thing was amazing. So in the back, there's like purple plexiglass and there's like six subwoofers and all this stuff. And the guy would only do Eclipse. That was like his brand was Eclipse Audio Gear, which is really, really great. So I paid him a couple $100 just to put like a nice, yeah, I wasn't going crazy. Just ended up putting two Tens in the back and an Eclipse deck in the front. And he replaced some of the speakers with some Kensington speakers because I didn't want to spend a lot of money on the system. And it sounded amazing, just really, really great. And if you've ever had a car with subs in the car, and I don't mean like the kind where you're driving down your neighborhood at 3 a.m. in the morning and you're waking up your neighbors because your trunk is rattling. I just mean like nice, you know, quality sound that sounds really good when you're driving. It's full, it's rich. It doesn't wake up half the block. And that's kind of what he did for the Civic. It was really high quality, really nice. And I've kind of bounced back and forth between owning kind of like sportier, smaller cars and then trucks. And it's kind of funny, like usually people are into one or the other, but I seem to be into both. So after the Honda Civic, I sold that and I bought a 1989 Toyota 4Runner. It was the first generation model, so it had the removable back top, and it wasn't the original when in the 85 when they had the solid front axle, which would have been nice if I had known a little bit more about trucks at the time. I would have gotten one of those. That was a really fun truck, and then I sold that when I got married, and my wife and I actually were given a car from her grandfather. It was his old Chevy Cavalier. And that was helpful when, you know, first getting married. And so that was our car for a while. And then eventually we needed another car. And I had been wanting to get a motorcycle, but Anna's not a huge fan of motorcycles. So I ended up instead, got a Wrangler, Jeep Wrangler. It was a YJ, and the thing was just, I mean, it was sweet. It had a 4-inch suspension lift with a 1.5-inch body lift. It had 33-inch Super Swampers on it. It had the sway bar disconnects in the front, lunchbox locker in the back with 410 gears, and the slip yoke eliminator and everything. And that was that Jeep would go anywhere that you pointed it. You just point it, put on the gas, and it would go. It was a lot of fun to drive, but it started leaking oil into the, or started leaking radiator fluid into the oil. And that was bad news. And it was a carbureted engine. And in the mornings, I used to leave for work usually around 5 or 5:30 in the mornings. And in the wintertime, when it's cold out there, the carburetor engine would stall out if I didn't sit in the Jeep and hold the gas for about 5 to 10 minutes until it warmed up. And that was just a pain in the butt. And I'm not really an engine guy. I can work on cars, but I'm not too much with engines. I have to kind of see what I'm working on. I can do body work and stuff like that, because that's just, you see it and you can kind of fix what you're looking at. Whereas with engines, I just don't know enough of the symptoms and things like that. So I sold the Jeep, which was a sad day, and replaced it with a Volkswagen GTI. It was a 2003, so it was the 20th anniversary edition, and that's probably my favorite car I've ever owned. It was super fast, super nice, reliable, a lot of fun to drive. Volkswagen just makes really great cars. Anyone who's owned a German-engineered car, you know, it's... I like to think of German engineering as sort of like the Apple of cars. Like, they just make stuff really, really well. It's really intuitive. And I was a huge fan. So I'm a huge Volkswagen fan. And then when Anna and I got pregnant with Noah, we knew we were going to need a family car. Sold the Volkswagen and we bought the Jeep Cherokee. And that's the car we're driving now. So, you know, kind of bouncing back and forth between catchbacks and trucks, I guess, is my car history. So that's the long answer for Matt there. Next question is from Daniel Golden. He asks, why do I choose not to have a Facebook account? I never signed up for Facebook originally because I didn't really see the point. It seemed like all of my old, friends of people that I was friends with on high school were the ones that were signing up, at least so I'm told. And it wasn't really appealing to me. I'm already still good friends with most of my best buds from high school. And, that's kind of all I'm really interested in maintaining, consistent relationships with. And those guys I talked to on a regular basis. And so I didn't need Facebook. And then it got to the point where so many people were on Facebook and it was like, just this one more thing to check. And that's kind of where it is for me now, is I've already got Twitter. Now there's app.net. There's already email. I've got Instagram. There's so many social networks, so many things to just check, you know? And I think Facebook would just be one more of those. And I just honestly just don't really feel the need to do it. I think the people that I'm interested in staying in touch with, I'm already able to do that. I don't need Facebook. It would be nice to upload pictures of the kids for family and stuff like that. But, there's other ways to do that. And then in the meantime, it's one less thing for me to look at when I'm at a stoplight. Right. And, last question here is from James Campbell. He asked about AppleScript. He says, it's something that I've always wanted to get proficient in. Are there any great places to start? So basically, James, with AppleScript, I actually get this question a lot because I've got half a dozen Apple scripts that I've written and posted about on my site, but I'm really not like a coder. I'm not a code guru, especially with Apple script. And that's the script that I'm probably most proficient in other than HTML and CSS. And pretty much everything I know, I just learned by either seeing a solution that someone had put together and then going, oh, you know, that's really close to something that I want to do. And so I'll take what they've done and then I'll kind of learn how it works and then change it to get it to work with what I want it to do. or there's been something that I want to try to fix, and I'll see if I can get it to work in AppleScript or not. Just mostly by Google and looking at other people's examples and using other people's code, and then kind of putting something together that that kind of works. So I don't really have any suggestions for where to start other than Google and search around. If you know what you're trying to do, then see if someone has put together a solution, and then you can kind of tweak it to work better for you. An app that I really recommend if you kind of understand the principles of scripting and coding, but you're not necessarily proficient in the coding language or the scripting language, I'd recommend Hazel and Keyboard Maestro, especially Keyboard Maestro. I kind of think of Keyboard Maestro as being like, I mean, it's way, way more than this, but one way to describe it could be like the poor man's AppleScript. And it's very, very intuitive in that you can use it and you can automate all these, basically these macros. And it's really, really clever. So if you're not sure how to script something, but you want to have your computer do certain things, or you type a certain keyboard shortcut and you want an action to happen, Keyboard Maestro is really, really great for that. It's a indispensable app for me. Use it for a lot of stuff. It's really great. So highly recommended. You can Google it to find it. So, all right. Well, hope you guys have a great one. That's Ask Sean today. Just a reminder, if you got questions, show topics, etc., feel free to send them my way. You can do email members@SeanBlanc.net or ping me on Twitter or app.net. Both of those, I am @SeanBlanc. So talk to you guys later. Have a good one. God bless.